and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have some wonderful musical entertainment with two musicals that appeared on the Railroad Hour. Railroad Hour was a high-quality half-hour show featuring musical comedy on radio. First, we have Music in the Air by Oscar Hammerstein II and Jerome Kern. You will love the hit songs as well as the sweet storyline. Enjoy the Railroad Hour, Music in the Air, first broadcast October 24th, 1949 on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Broadway musical hit, Music in the Air, starring Gordon McRae and his charming young guest star, Miss Jane Powell. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another top musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you very much, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have music by Jerome Kern and a story by Oscar Hammerstein II. And so we're ready for adventure, romance, and music in the air. Our curtain rises on the picturesque mountain village of Edendorf, deep in the Bavarian Alps, where I happen to be a schoolteacher named Carl Rader. A mighty lucky schoolteacher, too, because my sweetheart is the petite and charming motion picture star, Janie Powell.
Why, thank you, Carl.
Oh, you're welcome, Sieglinda. That's Janie's name in the story, Sieglinda. But you see, I'm sort of a bashful schoolmaster, more at home with a multiplication table than with a girl. Every time I see the beautiful Sieglinda, I don't know, I get a lump in my throat, so I can't really say the things I feel inside me. I remember one day I was coming up to Sieglinda's house to bring something to her father, Dr. Lessing.
Hello, Carl.
Oh, hello, Sieglinda.
Well, you should have told me you were coming to see me. I'd have been home sooner.
Well, you see, I didn't exactly come to see you.
Oh?
I came to see your father.
Well, if you'd rather see my father than see
me, Sieglinda, you don't understand. I mean, I always say the wrong thing when I'm close to you.
Oh, Carl. Carl, don't be bashful. Tell me what you're trying to say.
I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down in my heart, I hear it play, I feel it start and melt away.
I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day?
I alone have heard this lovely strain. Must it be forever inside of me?
Why can't I let it go?
Why can't I let you know?
Why can't
song is you.
I've finished the words, Dr. Lessing.
So soon? That's wonderful.
Carl, did you write words for one of Father's compositions?
Well, I hope what I've written is worthy of the greatest composer in Edendorf.
Oh, Carl, I am the greatest composer in Edendorf because I'm the only composer in Edendorf. Let me hear your lyric, Carl.
I'll be out in the kitchen.
No, no, Sieglinde, stay. I want you to hear this, too, because even though you don't know it, you helped me write the words.
Star, just how sweet I think you are. Why haven't I told you? I've told ripples in a brook, made my heart an open book. Oh, why haven't I told you? Friends ask me, am I in love? I always answer yes. Might as well confess. If I don't, they guess. Maybe you may know it too. Oh, my darling, if you do, why haven't you told me?
Sieglinde, you and Carl sing it together.
All right.
I make up things to say on my way to you.
On my way to you, I find things to say.
I can write poems too when you're far away.
When you're far away.
In the brook, made my heart an open book. Oh, why haven't I told you?
Friends ask me, am I in love? I always answer yes. Might as well confess. If I don't,
in our own little valley.
She's right, Dr. Lessing. You should have it published.
Oh, I am no businessman.
Look, I'm going to Munich next week with the walking club. And Dr. Lessing, if you came with us...
I should walk to Munich? 60 miles? You think I'm a schoolboy?
Oh, we'll take our time. A week or more.
I have not been there for 20 years. My old school friend, Ernst Mahler, is a music publisher in Munich.
Why, then you must come and give him the song. And Sieglinde must come to sing it for you.
Oh, please, Father. Please, huh?
Somehow I feel this is a wrong thing to do. It will bring sadness to us.
Well, How, Dr. Lessing? It can only make you famous.
Oh, it'll be a wonderful holiday for all of us.
There's a hill beyond the hill, beyond the hill, beyond the hill. If you live to yonder song, follow along, follow along. There's a dream beyond the dream, beyond the dream, beyond the dream. If your heart is young and gay.
Goodness, what have they done to Munich in the 20 years I've been away?
Oh, goodness, everyone's in such a hurry. And look, everyone looks so mad.
Well, that's the way it is with city life.
Ah, look, there is the sign, Mahler and Company, music publishers.
Well, shall we go in?
I wonder if my old friend Ernst will recognize me. It has been so long.
May I help you?
We'd like to see Mr. Mahler, please.
Well, he's very busy. You'll have to wait.
And you can take your play and your music.
Now, Frieda, let's not have another scene.
Who's making a scene?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm leaving you, Mr. Mahler. I'm leaving your wretched little opera company.
May I introduce myself?
Walk out on me, Frieda Hutzfeld, and you'll never work in musical comedy again.
I have a dozen offers.
Excuse me. Are you really Frieda Hutzfeld, the great star?
See, Mr. Mahler, here is a young man who appreciates my talents.
I saw you once in the Chocolate Soldier. You were wonderful.
How sweet of you to say so.
It is not possible. You are Mr. Mahler?
Yes.
You look like Ernst, but you should be older. We went to school together.
You're thinking of my father. He's been dead 10 years.
Ernst is dead.
Yes.
My old friend.
Oh, don't be sad, Father. I'm sure young Mr. Mahler will listen to your composition.
You see, I have written a song, and my daughter has come to sing it for you.
Everyone in the world has written a song and expects me to publish it. I'm sorry, I can't be bothered.
You can't treat my father like this. He's a great composer.
Well, this is a fiery little one, isn't she?
Bruno Mahler.
Oh, run along. I'm going to listen to this little angel sing.
That finishes it. I'm through.
That's right. You're through.
Oh! Oh. Young man.
Yes?
How would you like to take me to dinner?
Me? Have dinner with the immortal Frieda Hutzfeld?
Oh, what a nice way of putting it. Young man, you should write.
Well, I have done a few lyrics.
Oh? Well, perhaps you'll write something for me. Come, we'll discuss it at dinner. Carl!
Now, Mr. Mahler, about the song.
Oh, yes, the song. Yes, I'll listen to it. And then, Dr. Lessing, perhaps you'll let me have dinner with your daughter.
Are you having a good time, Carl?
Yes. But I can't believe that this is really me having dinner with a famous star.
Oh, Carl, you're refreshing. And I'm very fond of you.
Are you really? Do you know what's been happening to me, Frieda, while we walked in the park?
No. Tell me, Carl.
I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away.
Are you having a good time, Sieglinde?
Oh, it's been a glorious evening. And I'm so proud that you're going to publish my father's song.
How could I help it after the way you sang it? I wonder, can I persuade you to take Frieda Hutzfeld's place in my opera company? I'll make the theater goers love you as much as I do. Do you think you could be happy working with me?
Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. Mahler. Why, when we're together, I almost seem to hear music in the air.
I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain.
This is working out all wrong. I always thought that Carl and my Sieglinde, that they should sing their songs to each other, not to strangers. Oh, we never should have come here. We should have stayed in Edendorf.
Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing?
That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring.
The music is sweet, the words
are true. We'll return to the second act of Music in the Air in a moment, but first, safety is the product of many things. It is the product of safe tools and equipment. It is the product of the observance of safe operating rules, whether it be the operation of a kitchen stove at home, or an automobile on the road, or a train on its track. Most important of all, perhaps, safety is the product of education in safe thinking and habits. For the greatest of all safety devices is a safe man. Nearly 40 years ago, the railroads undertook organized cooperative efforts toward the creation of safe habits of thought and action. Other industries and organizations did likewise. The National Safety Council, which this week is holding its 37th annual meeting, was formed as a central agency to work in the whole field. At the same time, industries carry on their own special programs of safety. On the railroads, this work is done both by the individual railroads and by the safety section of the Association of American Railroads. The result is a degree of safety on the railroads undreamed of when the program started. In 1948, fatalities to passengers in proportion to miles traveled were only one-tenth as many as in 1913, and the rate of injuries was only one-fifth what it was then. The number of casualties to employees was only one-tenth as great in proportion to the traffic moved in 1948 as it was 35 years earlier. Such a record, unequaled elsewhere in the transportation world, has been accomplished by years of organized and purposeful attention to safety. But safety is not something that can be achieved and then forgotten. So railroads and railroad men are keeping on with their work for safety through engineering, through enforcement, through education, in safe thinking and safe practice, all to the end that we shall have in the future railroad transportation even safer than it is today. Now here is Act Two of Music in the Air, starring Gordon McRae as Carl Rader and his guest star Jane Powell as Sieglinde.
It's strange how people who love each other or think they do can suddenly drift apart. Back home in Edendorf, I had dreamed that someday Sieglinde would be mine. But at Munich, with the glamorous Frieda Hotskull at my arm, Sieglinde didn't seem nearly so important. And she was having the time of her life with that pompous impresario, Bruno Mahler, who had actually given her a starring part in his newest operetta.
Quiet now, quiet in the theater.
Oh, do I look all right, Mr. Mahler?
Oh, yes, my child, you look enchanted.
Oh, gosh. I'm so frightened, though, with all the lights and the people.
Do not be frightened. This is merely a dress rehearsal.
See it, pretty, my dove. I will be listening.
Well, thank you, Father.
All right, music.
A warm spring night was stirred by a breeze, and love was born. A moon in flight was caught in the trees, and love was born. A lark sang out and through the mist, a sigh became a sigh, and two
Siglinda. Didn't she sing that beautifully, Mr. Marler?
Yes, she sings magnificently. But I'm afraid she won't do.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, it's not enough to be able to sing. A star in musical comedy must know how to move, how to act, how to walk up on a stage as if she owned it.
But Siglinda is a child. She will learn.
There isn't time enough. Oh, if I could only get Frieda Hatzfeldt.
I thought you hated her.
I do. I would give my arm not to be dependent upon her. But do you realize what makes her great? She's played every little town in Europe. She's been hissed and booed off stages. She's starved between jobs. But finally, after years of work, she's become Frieda Hatzfeldt, the famous prima donna. And so, my dear, it was wrong of me to expect you to take her place, a child who never saw a stage until a few weeks ago.
I'm so ashamed.
Siglinda? Oh, Siglinda, what's wrong?
Carl. Oh, you tell him, Father.
Schoolmaster, have you seen Frieda Hatzfeldt? Do you know where she is?
Oh, yes.
Good.
At her hotel. She's packing her bag to go to Vienna.
Oh, I only hope I'm in time to stop her.
I don't understand. What's going on here?
They don't want me to play the part.
Oh, dear, child.
They said I'm not good enough.
I'm sorry, Siglinda. But we don't belong here. We belong in our own little village in Edendorf.
Now that you're tired of your Frieda Hatzfeldt, I suppose you want to go home, hmm?
Yes, Siglinda.
Well, I don't know what to do. Oh, come, Father, please. Please, I want to get away from here.
But Siglinda. Siglinda.
We belong together. We're happy together. And life is a song. When we are together, we know we are where we belong. We belong together like birds of a feather. Together we fly. Little caring whether the rest of the world is a lie. Together we know we are where we belong.
Together we know where we belong.
On the long, lonesome road back to Edendorf, I thought how much I hated all great cities and all prima donnas of musical comedy. Because they had separated me from my Siglinda. In Edendorf, I found her again, but we were farther apart than ever. Until the day Siglinda came running to her father with a big package wrapped in brown paper.
Father, Father, look what came in the post.
From Munich.
What can it be? Oh, your song.
All printed and published.
Oh.
And a letter from Mr. Marler.
Oh,
we are sending this all over the world. We expect to sell thousands of copies.
Oh, Father. Oh, congratulations.
You must not only congratulate me, my child. What about the man who wrote the words to the song?
I don't want to talk to Carl. He doesn't care anything about me.
Nonsense. The whole village is talking about how sad our schoolmaster is because you won't talk to him. He is so gloomy with his lessons, a whole generation is being depressed.
Well, can't let that happen.
Of course not. Now take this music and show it to your car.
Carl!
Siglinda.
Look, I have a present for you.
I told every little star just how grand I think you are.
Why haven't I told you?
Look, it says music by Dr. Walter Lessing. Words by Carl Rader. Oh, it's your song, Carl.
Oh, no, my darling. You were the inspiration, both for your father and for me. Siglinda, the song is you.
I alone have heard this lovely strain. Must it be for whatever inside of me. Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know?
Why can't I let you know the song my heart will sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring.
The music is
back in just a moment. Meanwhile, this is Gordon MacRae with a word of thanks to our excellent supporting cast, Betty Lou Gerson, Jerome Cowan, Gigi Pearson, and Herb Butterfield, who played Dr. Lessing. Music in the Air, composed by Jerome Kern, with book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II, was adapted for radio by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. These railroads are your hometown partners. They provide jobs for your neighbors. They buy supplies in your town. And they pay local taxes just as you and I. Thus, the railroads are more than just railroads. They are citizens, and mighty important citizens, in your own hometown. Now here again is lovely Jane Powell.
Oh, thanks, Gordon. Gee, it was fun making music in the air into music on the air.
Well, it's always fun to peek around a microphone and see you standing there, Janie.
Well, when you peek about a month from now, Gordon, you'll see me again.
That's right. We'll be back in old Heidelberg together for the student prince.
I've already got my passport.
And by the way, don't miss next week's Railroad Hour, Janie. We'll have Kenny Baker and Lucille Norman in one of America's favorite operettas, Blossom Time.
You know what? I'll have my head right inside that radio.
All aboard!
Well, good night, Janie. It looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week, goodbye.
Music in the Air was presented by special arrangement with Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon MacRae is now being seen in the Warner Brothers Technicolor production, Look for the Silver Lining. Jane Powell appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Red Danube, starring Walter Pidgeon, Ethel Barrymore, and Peter Lawford. A choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the Association of American Railroads. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
Christopher Lynch stars on The Voice of Firestone, coming up on NBC.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. With your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have an exuberant story of young romance with music and story by George M. Cohan, adapted by the Radio Hour. In this episode, the show is called Showtime to avoid mention of the sponsor for non-commercial rebroadcast by Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the Railroad Hour, Little Nellie Kelly. First broadcast March 13th, 1950 on NBC. This is an AFRS rebroadcast.
It's showtime.
It's on a musical that will live long in the hearts of all of us, for it was originated by one of America's best-loved showmen. It's George M. Cohan Week on Showtime, for the great song and dance man wrote the music, the words, and the story for our current production. It's Pretty Nellie Kelly, starring Gordon MacRae and Jane Powell. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, the music arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Here now is the first act of Pretty Nellie Kelly.
There's a time.
I'll try to get your Irish up as the Bronx Romeo, Jerry Conroy. And Janie Powell is looking sharp as a shamrock for the title role of Little Nellie Kelly.
Hey, where's Nellie?
We want to see Nellie Kelly.
Where's Auntie Nellie?
Officer Kelly, is your daughter home?
Oh, hello there, Jerry, me boy. Nellie, the boys are here for you again.
How many, Father?
The usual number, half a hundred or so. Jerry Conroy in the lead.
Ask them to sing a song till I'm ready.
Okay, Nellie. Come on, fellas.
It's the same old song they sing. I love you. The boys are all mad about Nellie, the daughter of Officer Kelly.
And it's all day long they bring flowers all dripping with dew.
And they join in the chorus of Nellie Kelly, I love you.
Wholesome and plain, right as the rain, Nellie's the one they are all for. Hundreds of beaux each fellow knows, all of the others he treats them like brothers. The rich and the poor, each one is sure he is the fellow she'll fall for. Nobody's ever guessed, and she's never confessed, if there's any particular boy.
It's the same old song they sing, I love you.
The boys are all mad about Nellie, the daughter
Nellie
of Officer Kelly.
And it's all day long they bring flowers all dripping with dew. And they join in the chorus of Nellie Kelly, I love you.
Here comes Nellie now.
Hiya, Nellie.
Hello, boys. Hello, Jerry.
Nellie, you're all dressed up.
Well, when you work at a dress shop, you've got to look your best.
Let's go, Nellie. I've got a boat reserved down at Central Park. I thought we'd go out in the lake in the moonlight.
Sure, and what would you do with my Nellie out on the lake in Central Park in the moonlight?
Oh, I'd think of something. Think of something.
Oh, Jerry. Jerry, I'm sorry, but I've got some bad news for you. I'm going to have to work tonight.
You're working at the dress shop on Monday night?
Well, Mr. DeVere called up and said it was something urgent. Gee, I'm awfully sorry.
Well, it's just that so many of the fellas want to take you out, and when my turn comes, I hate to be disappointed.
Oh, but I go out with you more than the rest.
Yes, but I'm in love with you, Nellie. Can't you choose out one of us from the gang? Me, for instance?
Oh, but that wouldn't be fair to the rest. After all, you're all my boys. Every one of you, you're all my boys. Wonderful boys. Dozens and dozens, a regular song. Simply precede me and follow along. Because you're all my boys. It's the fun of them that makes you such wonderful boys. They come in groups and through wherever I draw. Uptown, downtown, right on the spot. I must confess, I guess I worship the lot. Because they're all my wonderful boys.
All your boys, every one of us, we're all your boys.
They're wonderful boys, dozens and dozens of a regular throng. You simply precede me and follow along.
Because we're all your boys.
It's the fun of them that makes them such wonderful boys.
Gee, Nellie.
I'm sorry I have to work tonight, Jerry.
Can I drop in at the dress shop to see you later on?
Why, Jerry Conroy, I didn't know you were interested in ladies' dresses.
Only when Nellie Kelly's inside them.
Hurry, Nellie, hurry.
Why, what's the matter, Mr. DeVere? Where are we going?
To a party at Mr. Lloyd's house.
But I don't understand.
Mr. Lloyd is a millionaire, Nellie, and he's my best customer. If he wants all the girls and DeVeres to come to his mansion for a party, who is DeVere to say no?
Well, little Nellie Kelly is saying no.
Now, please, Nellie, Mr. Lloyd's a very nice young man. And he has such a pretty checkbook.
But he's mixing business with pleasure.
Who says you have to have a good time? Be miserable. Let's go, Nellie.
Thank you.
Nellie, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, it was very kind of you to invite all of us here, Mr. Lawrence.
May I make a confession? I asked all of the girls from the Beers to come here only so that I could invite you.
Oh, Mr. Lloyd.
Now, ever since I first saw you modeling dresses in the Beers shop, I've been in love with you.
Well, I'm very flattered, Mr. Lloyd, but...
There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, Nellie Kelly.
Hey, open the door. Open the door, I say. Open up.
Well, what do you want?
I'm looking for my girl.
Jerry, what's the matter?
Are you all right, Nellie?
Well, of course I'm all right.
Hey, what's the idea of breaking into my party?
Well, I dropped by the dress shop, Nellie, and it was all dark. Then I saw you getting into a cab, so I followed you here.
Oh, Jerry, you shouldn't have.
I was worried about you. I thought maybe you'd do something you shouldn't.
Oh, nonsense, my boy. I brought her here myself.
All the girls from Mr. DeVere's shop are here as my guests.
Oh, that's different. I didn't understand.
In fact, before this evening is over, I hope I can persuade Miss Nellie Kelly to become... Mrs. Jack Lloyd.
Oh, Mr. Lloyd, I didn't have any idea that...
Well, that's all right, Nellie. I guess I just didn't know how things were as all.
Oh, but Jerry, this is a bigger surprise to me than it is to you, believe me.
Well, I guess I know what you'll do. Golly, it's wonderful having a millionaire like Mr. Lloyd ask you to be his wife. Why, he can buy you anything you want in the world.
Oh, Jerry, you know I wouldn't marry a man just because he's rich.
Ah, but Mr. Lloyd is handsome, too, and young. Oh, I'm sure going to be lonesome without you, Nellie.
Oh, Jerry, don't talk like that.
I guess you know why I fell in love with you, don't you?
Well, not exactly, Jerry.
You remind me of my mother. My mother was a lot like you. So many little things you do. I find... they bring to mind my mother. I never thought there'd be another would have that sweet appeal or could make me feel that the old fool world was real. I've got a tin type of my mother. When mother was a girl like you, you looked a lot alike, you do. Her hair was just as fair, her eyes you to twinkle just the same as your eyes do. You remind me of my mother. That's why I love you.
I never knew you fell in love with me. I'm glad you told me the truth, dear. I'm glad you told me the truth. Was such a lovely thing to say to me. For I know the love of mother is a love that's like no other, the sweetest thought that ever could be whispered by you.
You remind me of my mother. My mother was a lot like you. Many little things you do, I find they bring to my mother. I never thought there'd be another would have that sweet appeal or could make me feel that the old.
Sweetest thing any boy could say to any girl.
You know I mean it, Nellie. Even though you won't ever be my girl now.
The lights. What's happened to the lights?
Be calm, everybody. I'll get the lights back on in just a second.
Oh, thank heavens.
Light again.
Oh, my pearls. Well,
while the lights were out, somebody stole my pearl.
Stole your pearl, Doctor.
Hey, where's that fellow Jerry? He must be the thief.
No, no, it's not true. Jerry wouldn't steal anything.
Well, then where is he? He disappeared while the lights were out.
No. No, no, I can't believe that Jerry would do such a thing. Why, just a minute ago, he was singing to me. You remind me of my father, after I am
dripping with you, and they join in the chorus of Nelly, Kelly, I love you.
We're ready now for the second act of George M. Cohan's Little Nelly Kelly, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, Jane Powell.
Everybody thought I was the fellow who stole the pearls at Jack Lloyd's party, but I didn't know anything about it. I was feeling so discouraged about losing Nelly that I just darted out the door when the lights went out and dropped in at the station house to see Officer Kelly.
That you, Jerry, me boy?
Yes, it's me, Officer Kelly.
Is Nelly with you?
No, she's not. I don't think I'll be seeing Nellie anymore from now on.
How's that now? A Conroy can't be holding a grudge against a Kelly.
No, no, of course not. I think the Kellys are the finest people to come out of Ireland. Don't you know that?
Sure, I know it. But it makes me proud to hear somebody else say it besides me.
Well, I'll say it any day of the week.
What's the greatest, grandest name?
Kelly is the name we say. Kelly with a capital K.
What's the name that's known for fame?
Kelly is the name we say, synonymous with okay.
By Killarney's lakes, I swear you never were so right before. It's the grandest name that ever came from the dear old Emerald Shore. The name of Kelly has ruled for many a day. There's a swing to the name and a ring to the name that commands the right away. O'Brien and Ryan and Sullivan and Mulligan all say that any Kelly with a K-E-double-L-Y is more than common clay. He's a king with a capital K.
The name of Kelly has ruled for many a day.
There's a swing to the name and a ring to the name that commands the right away.
It pains me to interrupt them kindly sentiments, Jerry, me boy, but I'll have to answer me telephone. Precinct 29, Officer Kelly speaking. What? You don't say. I'll be on the spot in a moment with me boy.
What's up, Officer Kelly?
Oh, there's bad news tonight. One of them rich society women had her pearl snitched from around her neck, and I've got to find the culprit who did the snitching. You want to come along with me, Jerry, me boy?
Sure, sure, Officer Kelly.
You can mind the siren.
Good.
Come on, boys.
We represent a regiment of wonderful little men. Men of daring, dignity, ability, and bravery. The finest lot of men we've got, the keepers of fighting men. My tongue is always turned when Aaron hears the word. Police! Police! The great New York police! Police! Whenever the cry is ringing, alert is the eye and whenever the word is heard, police.
things occur to the lead. It properly kept by bringing protection by force and fear. Here in New York, we boast of having the bravest in the land, the finest lot of men that ever have held a club in hand. Oh, dear. At the sound of the ding dong ding, you know the patrol is here. You know the police are here.
Is this the place, Officer Kelly? I can't go in there.
Kelly and the Conroy can go into any mansion on this earth. Follow me.
No. I shouldn't have come.
We're glad you're here, officer. Say, that is fast service. He's already caught the criminal.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations, Officer Kelly.
Yes, congratulations, Officer Kelly. You've caught the criminal. Now, wait a minute, Kelly. You don't know what they're talking about. What criminal?
Well, this young man with you. He crashed my party, then ran off with my Aunt Pearl.
Oh, there must be some mistake. Nellie, what in blazes are you doing here?
Oh, it's a party, Dad, for all the girls from DeVere's.
Officer, I demand that you arrest this young man.
Young Jerry here? Why, this boy never stole anything.
I didn't take the pearls.
Then why did you disappear when the lights went out?
Now, just a minute. Please, just a minute now. Let me talk with Jerry alone, and I'll find out what really happened.
Well... All right, Nellie.
Come on, Jerry. Jerry, tell me. Why did you run away?
Well, Nellie, I wanted to get out of your life as fast as I could. I didn't realize you were so much in love with this millionaire.
Oh, Jerry, don't you know I couldn't love a man like Jack Lloyd?
No.
And can't you guess who I'm really in love with?
There's a tiny voice I hear down deep in my heart. There's a song so soft and dear down deep in my heart. Early in the morning into the night.
Marry me?
Well, perhaps, if you'd ask me.
Just a moment, please. I still think this man is a thief.
Oh, you're wrong, Mr. Lloyd.
Then who did take the pearl?
I'll find the culprit for you. Where's DeVere?
Did somebody want me?
Search that man.
No, please don't search me.
Why not?
Because I'm ticklish.
Come over here now.
No.
Come on.
No.
Tether it up. Look!
Oh, no.
Are these the lost pearls?
Yes, all my beautiful pearls. Thank you, officer.
How did you know that Mr. DeVere was a thief?
Have you seen the prices he charges for them dresses in his stores? He's been stealing money from the women of New York for years.
Well, I think I owe you an apology, Mr. Conroy.
And I think you owe him some congratulations, too.
Oh?
I've asked Nellie to marry me, and she's accepted.
What? Well, that's wonderful.
Of course, I can't give her all the rich things you could buy for her.
Oh, but I'll be happy, Jerry, with whatever we have.
Oh, I can
promises a cozy little home until my luck comes rolling along.
Will you have the necessary when the bills come due for the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker?
Well, all I can promise is that I'll be on the level and that things will never go wrong.
In the long nest, you remember that we
is a happy disposition and a wild desire to succeed.
Will you always pay the damage when the rent comes due? Will I always be protected, never, never neglected?
Oh, I'd like to give you everything there is to give and will as soon as I'm strong. But all I can promise is a cozy little home until our luck comes rolling along.
All you can promise is a cozy little home until along. You know you have the necessary when the bills come due for the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker.
Oh, I'd like to give you everything there is to give and will as soon as I'm strong. But all I can promise is a cozy little home until our luck comes rolling along.
Ah, congratulations to you, Jerry, me bye.
Yes, congratulations and best wishes, Nellie.
Well, thank you, Jack.
No, I should have known that only a Conroy could marry a Kelly. Say, what's going to happen to Mr. DeVere, officer?
He's going out of the dress business for a while. I think you'll find him engaged in road work for the government, wearing a striped suit.
Then I'm going to buy DeVere's shop and give it as a wedding present to little Nellie Kelly.
And I'll make the first purchase, Nellie's wedding gown.
Oh, Jerry.
It's the same old song they sing, I love you.
The boys are all mad about Nellie, the daughter of Officer Kelly. And it's all day long they bring flowers all dripping with dew, and they join in the chorus of Nellie Kelly, I love you. And it's all day long they bring flowers all dripping with dew, and they join in the chorus of Nelly Kelly, I love you.
The Showtime curtain falls on another outstanding musical success. This week we've presented Little Nellie Kelly by America's great song and dance man, George M. Cohan. Jane Powell was heard in the title role, and Gordon McRae starred as Jerry Conroy. Our choir was under the direction of Norman Luboff, the music arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Showtime is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.